Title of the sermon today is, which point of view, or which viewpoint is yours? Write that down. That's going to be the title of this message. Which viewpoint is yours? And I want you to think about that and get that in your mind, because you see, you got a choice here, and it's up to you to choose whatever you do, because that's your will. God will not break your will. Which viewpoint is yours? I was reading the scripture the other day, and God gave me this thought. And I've wondered about it for many, many years, but have never have preached on it or taught on it in any way, shape, or form. But I was reading in Genesis chapter 28. Go there real quickly. Genesis chapter 28. If you got the same Bible I got, page 34. Genesis chapter 28. I want to start reading at verse 20. This is talking about Jacob vowing a vow. This is now Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. You know, he's a patriarch, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So he's pretty high up in the order of things concerning God and what God's doing as far as his family. And he says this here, Jacob, here. This is at Jacob's ladder and things of that nature. He says, and Jacob vowed a vow, Genesis 28, verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat, and clothes to put on. Notice he's asking God to do some things. So that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. I want you to underline that in your Bible, whether you're in a King James Version or whatever translation you got. Then shall the Lord be my God. Then shall the Lord be my God. Then shall the Lord be my God. If you do this, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. That's the tithe. I'm going to say it again. All that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now, I was reading that the other day, and I saw something there. Then the Lord said, go over to Matthew chapter 10. So go with me over there. Matthew chapter 10. I want you to listen to this, because I'm going to find out what your viewpoint is, which viewpoint is yours. Matthew chapter 10. Let me start reading with verse, let's see. Verse 19, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Now, I have learned that many times. There's sometimes I walk behind a pulpit, I studied all week, never got a thing. I said, buddy, this is going to be a short service. I'm going to get up and dismiss. Wind up preaching 2 hours. Why? He said, well, right there, be giving you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not ye that speak. I wish ministers would underline that and make them realize that it's the Lord speaking through a person. See, so it's not up for judgment. It's the Lord speaking through an individual. It's up to you to receive it. For it is not that you speak, but the spirit of your father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. That's bad, isn't it? Verse 22. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now that I have experienced. Oh, I've had people just hate me and don't even know me. But they hate what I represent, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. Now, the next thing, the last thing we want to get to. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Amen. I want to talk this morning about which viewpoint is yours, and we'll find out in just a minute. Write this down. One should never look upon serving God as a bargain. Either you serve God as a bargain or a dedication. What are you doing? God, if you do this for me, then I am going to serve you all the days of my life. That's a bargain. That's Jacob. If you give me clothes, if you do this, then I'm going to do this. A lot of people ask me, why don't you ask God for things? Don't need to. He said he'd supply all my need according to his riches and glory. I don't have to bargain with God. I've never had to say if I'm a tither, then you're going to have to keep the windows of heaven open and bless me. If I sow a seed, you got to bless me 36. No, because you see, his word is forever settled. It's settled. Now, is God to you a bargain or a dedication? Now, to Jacob, God was a bargain. To Jesus, God was a dedication. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Which viewpoint is yours? Think about that for a minute. I want to get into that. When I begin to realize this, how many people are serving God for what he can do for them instead of just serving God because they love him? How about a marriage? Why are you married? Do you love your wife just because she cooks for you, gives you children, or you just love her because of who she is? You love her just because of her body that you can use whenever you feel necessary? Or is it you just love this person and vice versa? Do you love your husband because he brings home the bacon? Or that he's a good provider, that he gives you money, lets you buy a Louis Vuitton purse? Or do you just love him because who he is? Did you really love him a lot when he had a lot of hair? And now it fell off? Do you love her because her body was so beautiful now? That's all I'm going to say about that. I leave that to you. Which viewpoint is yours? Now, has your marriage become a bargain or has it become a dedication? Jesus said, I came that you might know the Father. Jesus didn't say this. Now, God, I'll go down there if you do this. If you give me all power over everything, then I'm going to do this. He didn't say that. He came because he just loved us. Amen. He just wanted to please his Father. So write this down. One should never look upon serving God as a bargain. Write this down. Unless God does something, the agreement between me and him is invalid. You see, I give tithe because the word of God said it. Whether he ever keeps the window of heaven open, pours me out a blessing that I shall not receive. I just enjoy giving him what's his. I give to God not because I got a 36 and 100 fold coming. I give to God because it's more blessed, which means it's more empowered to prosper to give than it is to receive. I'm not doing this so I can get something. I'm doing this because I just simply love what he's done for me. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying, I'll tell you one thing now, if you do that, no. Then I'm going to really live my life. If I fast, Lord, I know you'll do this. Most people fast to force God to do something when they could have eat all week and just believed his word. Well, you see, they get that sick look on. I'm out here to die, Jesus. You better help me. I had a guy tell me the other day, he said, if you can get this thing working in my life, you'll never have to want for money ever. I'm not for sale, ladies and gentlemen. You see what I'm saying? I'm bought with a price that no one can afford, including the devil and all his cohorts. I've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. You see what I'm saying? So unless God does something, the agreement you have is invalid. There was times when I first started giving to God. Use giving as an example. When we started giving the tithe, we didn't see nothing. But it didn't make any difference. We did that simply because his word was true. Now, let me put it over into the natural side. I mean, you know, when you first get married, you just kiss it, kiss it, kiss it, kiss it, kiss, hugging after, until you get to your first argument. All of a sudden, you find out there's something in this woman you really do not like. Or vice versa. Well, do you just give up? Most people do. Think about that for a minute. But do you realize that did you marry her because you loved her, or did you marry her as long as everything's fine and peaceful? You see, if Kathy would just do everything I tell her, it would be a great life. I mean, it would just be, I would be a king. What's wrong with that? Makes sense to me in the natural, but that's not right. Because a lot of things I do may not work the way they're supposed to work. And vice versa. You see what I'm saying? But there's just something called dedication. I'm going to deal with that in just a minute. Is God a bargain to you or a dedication to you? I remember when I first started going, people said, ask anything. So I would say, Lord, you heard me say this one time preaching. Can I have a Rolex? He said, yeah, here you little flesh creature. He don't care if you have a Rolex. You can have a company of Rolexes. You have anything you want. That's not the issue. You know, he said, ask anything to the Father in my name. But it's when you begin to bargain with God instead of just loving who he is. See, that's why it's so amazing when you people come to Covenant Church or Jesse Vance Ministries and you serve without any compensation. Amen. It's not that we don't want to pay you. It's not that. Well, I thought they ought to be paying me. No, it's not. It's the idea you just did it because you love the Lord. Yeah. I'm not saying taking advantage of that. I'm talking about you just did it because you wanted to be a blessing. We blessed someone Friday, and the first thing they said, oh, no, I didn't do that for that. I did it just for servanthood, just to be a servant. Well, that's why you got blessed. Because that was dedication. See, write this down. Your conscience must become void of offense to God. In other words, if you don't see God doing something, your conscience has become void to offense to him. You can never get offended at God. Even John the Baptist got offended at Jesus. Said, is he the one or should we wait for another? I got a naked woman dancing in front of a lustful man. He going to give me half the kingdom on my head. And Jesus answered, John said, well, since you want to see something, go tell him that the blind see, the deaf hear, and the dead's raised. Then Jesus said something to John in prison. Blessed is he who was not offended in me. I have never become offended with God. Never. There were some things he's done that didn't make any sense. But I figured he's a lot smarter than me. So write it down. Your conscience must become void of offense to God. Write this down. Beware of not having a habit of faith. There are a lot of people who don't have a habit of faith. They think faith is something that just goes on a little while, then we go on to the next thing. A movement. No, faith is a lifestyle. Beware of not having a habit of faith. Everything you should do should be operating through faith and by faith, for faith and with faith. Do you see that? So when God tells me, Jesse, what do you want? I tell him, but I don't put a bargain. If you do this, God. I said, well, Lord, you don't have to do that. I know I don't have to do it. That's why I'm doing it. Sometimes I buy Kathy something. And she said, but it's not any special day. It doesn't make anything different. It just wanted to be a blessing. And then sometimes she wants to do something like that for me. Vice versa. You know, it just goes back and forth. It's just called dedication. Sometimes she makes the bed. Sometimes I make the bed. Just works that way. I prefer her to make the bed. I prefer her doing everything. That's why the man owns the clicker. Right? Let's face it. Get me something to drink. She said, your legs are broke? No, my legs are not broke. But I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't want to go get me a drink. I mean, why do we have to argue about that? But no. Oh, no, I'll get you something. No, I don't want nothing now. All of a sudden. Can I have the clicker? No. I bought you a television. Go to yours. She said this the other day. I don't feel like cooking. Like as if that was a revelation to me. I said, okay. And then when she does cook, I bring over the television and we film it. Put it in the archives. No, okay. I know. Help me out. Come on, man. She did cook last night. I don't know what it was, but she cooked something last night. Beware of not having a habit of faith. If God hadn't done something yet, maybe the reason why you've been bargaining with him. He's got to get you out of the bargaining way of thinking or viewpoint into the dedication viewpoint. So your conscience must become void of offense to God. I've seen so many people mad at God. How many people you've known some people who were mad at God? Oh, they got offended. I just tell you one thing. Of course, they're still breathing. He could just grab your throat and go, what? What? You talking to me? You talking to me? What? Turn it loose. What did you say? Love you, Jesus. No. So, see, but notice Jacob. Now,
He just saw this wonderful vision. Now, if you give me some clothes, watch this. You give me some food. You take care of my family. I'll give you a tenth of it. All the money coming from God, but he only get 10%. And the Lord said, sure, I'll do that, Jacob. That's what you want to do. If you're thinking like that, think about that for a minute. And Jacob gets hit by a famine. But his son, who has a dedication to God named Joseph, gets him out of problems. Gets the whole nation out of problems. And God calls him a fruitful bough. God calls Jacob a rascal. That's what the word Jacob means, rascal. Deceiver. I got to change your name. I mean, would you like to go to a church whose the pastor's name Deceiver? No. So your conscience must become void of offense. So there's been some times I've had to wait on some things, but I never got offended about it. It just didn't make any difference because his word was true. I don't have to ask him to bless me. The Bible said he blessed me in the city, in the field, going in, going out. If you notice, I don't even ask God for needs. I don't tell him what I need. I tell him what I want. Now, people get mad about that when I say that. Oh, that's greed. No, that's growth. I don't have to. He said he'd supply all my need, according to riches and glory. Then he said, delight yourself, therefore, in the Lord. In other words, to just enjoy our presence, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. You don't even have to ask for that. In other words, when we come together, let's just fellowship and talk and have some fun. You ever notice when a couple gets together and there are no harsh words, things work good. They just work good. I've learned there's some things Kathy likes to do and there's some things I like to do. You know, we go on vacation. Usually I let her pick where we're going to eat, where we're going to go, where we're going to do whatever. I let her do the plan because for some reason or another, my plans are not that good. I want to do this. No, we ain't doing that. Okay. Now, I don't get mad all week when I tell you, well, I don't think, why'd I go on a vacation? No, I don't do that. So, okay. I just let the Lord convict her. About something. Finally, she goes, did you really want to do that? Yeah. Oh, well, I'll do it if you want to do it. I just didn't think you want to do it. Okay. Well, no, that's all right. It doesn't make no difference. She likes me to go out and lay out in the sun with her. I ain't doing that. But I want you to come lay out in the sun. Look, I've burned myself before. I met you at a swimming pool. Remember how brown I used to be? It's all gone. Yeah, but I mean, you got to relax. I don't relax sweating. And then putting on oil and sweat some more. And you're so oiled up with sun stuff that when you try to get off the thing you're laying on, you slip off and just hit your butt. Bam. I mean, you just, well, Lord Jesus. But she likes that. Won't stay out there all day. Oh, I just like all that. Well, go ahead, enjoy yourself. Where you going to be? I'm going to be in a balcony in a hotel looking at you. With something to drink. And then when it comes time for supper tonight, I ain't gonna be walking around like this. Yes. One time I always went to the mall with her and Jody. It was my thing to go to the mall with them two girls. Went to the mall, just walked that mall till my legs fell off. But one day I got a revelation. I said, we're going to Colorado. Oh, where we going? We're going skiing. No, we're going hunting. Oh, I don't like to hunt, tough. You going up in that mountain up there with me. But it's cold up there. Yeah. What we going to do? Put some clothes on. But what I'm going to do? You going to hunt? Oh, I can't kill nothing. Yeah, you can. All of them, everybody got a killer instinct in them. No, I just can't do that. But she went. She came. You should have seen it. She's just a freezing. She said, what happened if I get caught in the woods? Well, and I got to go to the bathroom. I said, hit the woods. Suppose somebody see me. I promise you ain't nobody gonna see you. I mean, there ain't gonna be a bear going, whoa, look at that. A cougar or whatever. We're hunting here. Killed a big elk. Should have seen that, boy. Big elk. Boom, put him down. Whoo, I come back, boy. And she says, do y'all eat the heart? The heart? I like the heart. The heart.
Oh, yeah, we'll cook the heart for you. Okay.
Just ate the elk's heart. She said, would you like some?
No, I got one myself out there.
She liked that. Some people eat that. I happen to like chicken gizzard. But there's something about the word gizzard. I just don't know what it is. I've never asked what a gizzard is, and I don't care. I don't want to know. And she did, I have to say, she didn't bargain with me. She came. And buddy, she got cold. And man, we're up in 10,000 feet, snow on the ground. Gorgeous, beautiful, in this tent. And something come upon me. I said, hey, mama. She said, don't even think about it. I said, but we in the mountain there, man. This is not, this clothes is staying on, boy. I said, but wait. She said, no bargain. Well, I couldn't wait till I got down to the bottom. But anyway, praise God, down to the bottom of the mountain. Woo! She said, ah, no! Don't look at me weird. You think the same way. It's just too cold. Write this down. One should look upon serving God as a dedication. He that endureth to the end. I love that. Shall be saved. A dedication. What does dedication do instead of a bargain? Dedication invites loyalty. It is not conditioned upon specified provisions. See, when you're loyal, it's not conditioned upon a specified condition. Dedication invites loyalty. That's what Jesus did. Not my will, but thine be done. I came that people may know who you are. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. You won't have to bargain, just seek ye first the kingdom. So dedication invites loyalty. It's not conditioned upon specified provisions. When Jesus helped people, write this down, there was no thought of payment or compensation. He just helped people. I've had people say, why do you help people? Just, you could charge them for that. Well, I guess I could. Ain't nothing wrong with charging them. Don't misunderstand me. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't want you to misinterpret that. But you know, sometimes you just like to be a blessing. The other day I gave a girl a $100 tip. She liked to pass out. She said, are you serious? I said, yeah. You got to be kidding me. I said, well, if you don't want it. Oh, no, I didn't say I didn't want it. I don't know what to do. I said, let me help you. Receive it. Amen. You did a good job. And the Lord told me to bless you. He did. Really? Yeah. Are you serious? Yeah. Just couldn't get up. Oh, no, I can't let you do that. Sound like the church, don't it? Oh, no, I ain't worthy, Lord. I ain't worthy. There you are. She deserved that. Lord said, this be a blessing to her. You see? She said, I've never had that happen before. I said, well, today is the beginning of a new day. I said, do you need the money? Oh, desperately. I said, well, the Lord has blessed you today. Simply because you was a blessing to us. She went over and above and beyond serving a table to me and Kathy. She was just a blessing to us. I mean, you know, hey. So I thought, well, it's just going to be a blessing. So when Jesus helped people, there was no thought of payment or compensation. Why? One should look upon serving God as a dedication. Dedication invites loyalty. It's not conditioned upon specified provisions. Now, write this down. This is very important. Prayers should never be occupied with disappointments. Isn't that good? Most people pray and don't tell God how bad it is. I'm just disappointed in you, Lord. I did this and it didn't work. I did that and it didn't work. I did this and it didn't. Well, prayers should never be occupied with disappointments, but charged with courage and the power to endure. I never pray, and I don't mean this pridefully, disappointing God. I don't say, well, Lord, I tell you what, I just don't know what's going on. I can't stand that. No, prayer should never be occupied with disappointments, but charged with courage and the power to endure. So when I pray, you ought to hear my prayers. My prayers are good prayers. Glory to God. It's full of encouragement. Even then when everything's going to hell in a handbasket, like they say. Courage, boy. I just, hey, Lord Jesus. And the power to endure. Having done all to stand therefore. That's how I pray. That doesn't mean the devil don't fight me. I just don't bring that up. And it irritates him when I don't pay attention to it. And every time I've made a mistake, it's when I paid attention to what Satan was trying to do to me. Every time I made a wrong decision is when I paid attention to what Satan was trying to do to me. But if I would just nullify him, don't even pay him any attention whatsoever at all, and say, Lord, I love you and praise you. I thank you today, Lord Jesus, that greater is he was in me than he was in the world. If God be for me, who could be against me? If you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea and not doubt in your heart, believe those things which you say shall come to pass, you're going to have whatsoever you say. The carnal mind is empty against God, not subject to the law of God, neither need can it be. So then they are in the flesh cannot receive. And by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law and sin. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, you just start saying it. That's what happens. If you're looking for a boyfriend, you get one. Let me help you girls out here. You let me pray like that. Get somebody good looking. You understand? You need a blessing financial, you get one. The home you've been believing God for, you get it. The job you want, you get it. Because your prayers are not full of disappointments. They're charged with courage. Oh, I love that. And the power to endure. Don't that sound like Jesus? Good Lord, man. Jesus walking around with 12 guys, 12 unbelievers with him. Jesus, his disciples are unbelievers. Yeah. I can't believe he's going to do this. I can't believe he's going in that house. He's going to Zacchaeus' house. Piece of trash, Zacchaeus. Tax collector. Stole from my mama 2 years ago. I know he did. He said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Glory to God. You unbelievers. One of them says this. I ain't believing nothing till I stick my hand in his hands and nails and his side. I don't feel too bad about Thomas. Peter was in there too. He was hiding. So was James. So was John. So was Bartholomew. Matthew. Yeah. Only one not hiding was Mary. The mama. She wasn't hiding. And yet they're always criticizing her. She wasn't hiding, buddy. She's at that cross. Them girls were walking down to that tomb. They didn't care. Shout, ladies, I just set you free. They weren't worried about the Romans. You can kill us all. That made it to us. Oh, that whore called Mary Magdalene. First person Jesus ever talked to after he ascended, resurrected. Think about her, huh? He didn't say, you my woman. He said, no, Mary, you came here. Go tell my disciples and the leader, Peter, I'm alive. Why would he tell an ex-whore that? Whores can run fast. Am I shocking y'all? They've been running from the police. You got the revelation? Look at so many people. I can't believe he said that. Hang on, it gets worse. A prostitute who set her free, gave her the greatest honor, shut down heaven for her. She went to grab him. Lord, don't touch me, Mary. I have not yet ascended. But he saw she was hurting. Gone to that tomb. Hurting. God sees when you're hurting. To the point that he said, Father, wait. I got to help that girl. Mary. And she reckoned, oh, God. Go tell my disciples. And why wasn't Peter there? Why wasn't John there? You never criticize anybody who you think is a piece of trash. They may be your messenger. Ah, that you don't think is worth much or nothing. God sent her. Now watch this. All redemption shut down so he could minister to her. When she took off running, he said, I got to get to heaven, pour out the blood on the holies of holies. And he declared man righteous. But before he did that, he answered somebody's hurt. So you don't ever criticize somebody because of their past lifestyle. They may become your messenger. You see my point? Which viewpoint is yours? Ah. She didn't bargain. She just said, oh, and she went telling everybody. Oh, I like that. Let me say it again. Prayer should never be occupied with disappointments, but charged with courage and the power to endure. Let me say this. Fellowshipping with God is what existence is all about. Fellowshipping with God is what existence is all about. You know what Kathy likes to do with me more than anything? Let me get real personal. Ready for this? Like I haven't done it before. Let me tell you what she loves to do with me. Talk to me. That's it. That's it. You just got the revelation right there. I did the same thing. What? What'd you do today? What you thinking about? You know, you could say, I love you first. I'm waiting on it, like as if I don't know that. Not that that's bad. She wants to talk to me. I could think of much greater things to do. There's so much to do. She just won't talk to me. She want to fellowship with me. Hey, did you dream last night? No, did you? Why'd you ask me that? Because you were snorting over there. I didn't know what was going on. That night she went like, I said, that better be me in that dream. That better be me. Because there's something about a woman's heart, son. Let me help you, man. You ain't going to never get all of it. There's going to be some secrets they're going to keep to the grave. They are. And that's okay. Fellowshipping with God is what existence is all about. I'm going to get off of that real quick, glory to God. See, when you understand that, you don't bargain with him no more. There is a fullness of wisdom to keep us from error. Don't write it down yet. I'm going to tell you right there. I want to do four things right there. There's a fullness of wisdom to keep us from error. There's a fullness of grace to preserve us from apostasy. There's a fullness of joy to keep us from despair. There's a fullness of power to protect us from evil. Now write this down. There's a fullness of wisdom to keep us from error. God said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. How do you know what to do, Brother Jesse? Wisdom. Not smart. Smart's knowledge. Wisdom. See, wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. You know, we have some professional students. They've been going to college. They're 45 years old. They ain't got a job yet. They got 6 degrees and they still ain't got a job yet. They got more knowledge than you can shake a stick at, but they can't even support themselves because they have no wisdom. Then you go down the bayous of South Louisiana. Huh? You go down to Golden Meadow. Cut off, Cocodrie, Chauvin, the Isle of the Little Jean Charles. That's not tongues. Those are real places for you that are watching all over the world. Yeah, you go down there, you got a guy talk like that, but he owns 400 shrimping boats. He owns 300 tugs. He's filthy rich. He call himself a Cajun mariner. He know how to catch that fish. Yeah. He may not be able to really write his name. He can't read, write his name in boxcar letters, but he can count that money. He's got wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. Yet I've been around some homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological geniuses who couldn't get out the front door. There is a fullness of wisdom to keep us from error. Listen to this. There's a fullness of grace to preserve us from apostasy. Grace, God's unmerited favor. Keep us from apostasy. That fullness of grace. Well, you, like they say down the bodies of South Louisiana, say, you don't think yourself. That means you're not arrogant. You don't think yourself. There's a fullness of joy to keep us from despair. People say, why don't you be sad, Brother Jessica? Joy cometh in the morning. Now, if you fall asleep, the morning come quicker. If you stay up, the morning gonna take a long time. Ricky Bartley has a saying. You hear him say, he said, it's been a long time coming. Said it all the time. Ricky's actually from North Louisiana, but he sounds like he's from down the bayou. There's a fullness of joy to keep us from despair. People get so angry at me because I refuse to be in despair. That doesn't mean trouble hadn't come my mate. That doesn't mean tragedy hadn't come. But I refuse to despair. Watch this. There's a fullness of power to protect us from all evil. A fullness of power to protect us from all evil. You know, if I have been living a double life, they'd have found out by now. These investigators are pretty good at what they do. All they got to do is look at your checkbook and they'll tell you your personality through mathematics, which is the universal language. Mathematics. Now, if I've been doing something wrong, spiritually, physically, financially, if I've been chasing women, somebody would have found out by now. If I'd have been stealing money, somebody would have found out by now. Amen. You follow what I'm saying?
Yep.
But they ain't found out nothing because there's nothing to find. Amen. And I don't mean that to be prideful. Why? Because, see, there's a fullness of power to protect me from evil. That I refuse to do things. And I ask God for wisdom. I am allowed to do some things legally that I do not do in the financial realm. Did you know that? I have tax attorneys. I don't use CPAs. Nothing wrong with CPAs. I just like a tax attorney. Why? Because when you get world known, attorneys become very important to you. Because there's always somebody trying to accuse you of something. So what I do, I've had my attorney say, but Jesse, you can do this. This will save you a ton of money. I ain't doing that. Oh, no, you don't understand. This is what you paid me to tax. I know. But no, but this is legal. Here's the document from the IRS. I said, that's wonderful. We're not doing that. Why? Because you don't understand the politics of religion. You see, you get a brand new car. You know what they say about Kenny on a brand new car? Boy, did you see Kenny's new car? Did you see that car? Now, that's a fine car. I get a new car. I bet he stole that money out of them bags. How come I can't have a new car? Wait a minute here. Wait a minute. How come me and you, Nate, can't drive a new car? Well, somebody questioned this. How come your kids can have something really nice on? Well, where they get them on that? How come they can't go to the finest schools they want to go to? How come everybody else can? See that? Now, the politicians don't care. Because if you notice, when the president does something or when the Congress does something, who do they talk to first? Lawyers. Is this legal? And if it's not, can we make it legal? Now, I don't mean this to be rude because I'm not against President Obama. I'm not against the Attorney General. But let me just say this. If you was held in contempt, you think you'd be at your house today? They would arrest you. If you would not do what a subpoena tells you to do, you know what they're going to do you? They're going to throw you under the bus. Unless you got power. How come all of us have to answer Congress?
All right.
But Congress only have to answer themselves.
Amen.
How come they can vote themselves a raise and you ain't got a thing to say about it? And then they say, but we are the, we represent the people. If you represent me, you wouldn't be $15 trillion in debt. I don't care if you're Democrat. Republic, independent, whatever. Hey, if you represent me, you ain't gonna be no $15 trillion in debt. Let's just be honest here. Do you think there's any senator or congressman can write a 2,200-page bill?
No.
No. Who's writing these bills? Lobbyists. Companies. Let's just be honest. Right? Which viewpoint is yours? Now, I'm not against the attorney general. I don't know any of this stuff because, you know, you only report what they want you to hear.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that. But I'll tell you this much, ma'am. If you had a subpoena against you, I had a subpoena, me and you, we'd be in jail. How come does that make any sense to anybody? So remember this, when you listen to the news, it's what they want you to hear. Can you imagine getting a subpoena and call somebody and say, let's cut a deal? And you know where all the power lies? With us. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish, we are the people. We never use it. We are. Now, they use it when they want to use it. Now, I'll just say this in close. One of the benefits of Jesse mentioned is I pay my employees is hospitalization. So the Obamacare and all that kind of stuff, that don't bother me at all. Why? Simply because I'm going to pay it anyway. That's not the issue. I want to be a blessing to my staff. But I don't like having to. I should want to. In other words, you want your husband or wife loving you not because they have to. If we're free. If we live in a democratic process here.
Right.
Do you understand? You see, because they ain't none of them. They may be lawyers, but they ain't smart enough to write a 2,000 page. Oh, and let me tell you about the Supreme Court. They didn't write no 400 page opinion. They got clerks doing that. They just tell them what to think. When are we going to wake up and smell the roses here?
Exactly.
But we the people. And it's always this, the American people. I ain't had anybody ask me diddly squat. Have y'all had anybody ask y'all? Has anybody, you over, wait, right here. Where you at? Stay where you are. Okay. Well, you move fast. You jump from that couch to that chair, right? Has anybody ever asked you?
Yes.
Think about that for a minute.
They're asking. They're beginning to ask.
They're beginning to ask. Beginning is taking a long time.
Yes.
And I'm glad for it, but wait a minute. You know, I can make most of these decisions by myself. Economically, now, you know, I am no economist. But I can get this country out of debt real quick. Because I'm going to say this, I'm going to get political. Because what the United States has done for all the nations of the world is more than $15 trillion. Man, we protected your countries, gave your life back, stopped dictators, beat you back, and we do it all for free. And we have the most powerful military. I know, I've been there. I've been in Kwajalein, buddy, but nobody really knows what's out there. I'm in jogging, and he put two M16s on me. Halt! Oh, my hands went up. Me and Brother Copeland were preaching, and that's where you don't know what's out in that Pacific out there. We were preaching out there in Ebi. And there is a military base out there, son, and you don't walk somewhere. And that colonel that night said, I heard they put the guns on you. Yeah, I was jogging. And they said, halt. I halted. I didn't say, no, we the people of the United States in order to form a more perfect union. A government of the people, by the people, and for the people. No, I halted. I throwed my hands up and praised the Lord. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Because I went into an area I wasn't supposed to go into by accident. And if I'd have seen everything, I wouldn't have known what it meant. But that's not the issue. They got to protect this nation. And I'll tell you how powerful it is. You fly from New York to Guadalcanal, to the South Pacific. You looking at pure flying. I don't know if David Deloach is in here, Joe. What, David, what, 25, 27? If you had a plane that could go that far with a nonstop from New York, what, 25, 27, 28, 29, higher, 30 hours, 30 something hours flying at 550, 600 miles an hour. How many hours do you think?
I was saying 15. He said 12.
12 hours? I mean, from New York to Kwajalein. That's out in the Pacific. That's a long time. Ready for this? They shoot that intercontinental ballistic missile, which is where they test them. They drop them off in a lagoon where me and Brother Copeland, I don't know if Dave was with me, but me and Brother Copeland was preaching. They shoot it. You ready for this? 8 minutes. From New York to the Pacific, 8 minutes. And they could hit anything within 4 feet. Now that was 15 years ago. Which viewpoint is yours? I still think we got the greatest country in the world. I love the United States of America. I love the United States of America. We got a lot of things wrong with us, but we got a lot of things right with us. But what I'm saying is, if you don't use your rights, they will bargain with you. I'm an American because I'm dedicated to being American. I'll never be anything else. I've been to other countries. They're pretty. They're nice. But they're not like America. In fact, I can smell American airspace. I can tell. One time I went up to the cockpit and I went, we in America. We were flying back from Australia. I said, we in America. He said, we just crossed the international date line. Hello, Jesus. Why? Because freedom smells good. Amen. So I'll say this. When it's time for you to stand up for what you believe, you do that by that voting box. Amen. And you're federal, state, and local. It's worth the time. I don't want to go stand in line. I know that. There ain't gonna be too many people there. That's what they're betting on. So I don't bargain to be an American. I'm dedicated to being an American. That doesn't mean I'm better than anybody else. I just so happen to be born in this nation, which I'm very proud of. So July 4th is very special. I used to like to always have them off, but most preachers have to preach July the 4th, you know. So you think about this, that before you was born, God put you in this nation. Amen. A lot of spilt blood. I saw something really ministered to me. They just gave some medals, some freedoms, some medal, freedom medals to some black Marines. That was tender, man. These men in the late 80s, 90s. That's what it's all about. But you know, I thought, from the natural, they should have left America because they didn't care. But they didn't. They said, this is our nation. And they went from young to real, real old. But you saw when they pinned those medals on those men's neck. You could see them lips quivering. Should have been done when they were 22. Well, God has given us all a medal of freedom. And his name is Jesus Christ, and him crucified. Wear it proudly.